episode 140 of the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting podcast network. Sean St. Jacques back here with you to talk more Knicks and NBA as always. This week on the show, the Knicks free fall continues. A couple of really rough losses between the two Philly games over the last few days. We're not going to go over them. We've done it enough. We know what this Knicks team is. It's not going to get any better. I thought about it. I thought about, you know, dissecting it a little bit this week. This doesn't feel like a week to do that. I mean, it was just the Sixers are a better team. I know the guys on our website, the great writers we have, postingandtoasting.com, we're talking about, you know, Deuce McBride getting a little bit of playing time. It doesn't really matter. I hate to say that, but it's a positive, right? I mean, I get it from that perspective, but other than that, you know, the Knicks just were poor in the second half of both games. That's really it. We know what this Knicks team is at this point. The Knicks are, what, 12 games now? Below 500. I really, to be honest with you, seriously considered talking draft. I hate to even say that on the show this week, because a few people were asking me, so I did check. I mean, right now the Knicks would get the 10th pick, I believe, in the first round of the draft, and I don't want to talk about it. I want to wait. I want to extend it at least another week before we talk any draft, just because it's too early. Like, so many guys, like, I really have two reasons, right? Number one, I'm upset with where the Knicks are at, and I just don't want to talk about it first week of March, you know. But you know, the NCAA tournament's coming up, and that's when a lot of these guys are going to shine. So that's the second part, which is so many things can change, really, with the draft over the next month. I mean, right now, you see a guy out of Purdue, like a Jaden Ivey, who could go number two or number one, maybe even, in the draft. That might not be the case in another month or two. Things can change, or, you know, could be the same thing. You know, Jaden Ivey's a really good player, but a lot of things can change. March Madness can change things when it comes to the draft board. So I'm kind of waiting to see how that all comes together. You know, the positive has been seeing my Seton Hall Pirates surging over the last few weeks, and looks like they're going to be there. They're going to be in the dance. So I'm excited about that. But other than that, with Knicks basketball, hasn't been great. no, but in all seriousness, that's the reason, right? I had a few people, like I said, reach out to me this week, ask about some draft stuff, because you guys love some draft, and I respect it. I do too. I enjoy talking about it on this show. The numbers reflect that. You guys love talking NBA draft. It's one of the things that gets people to listen to this podcast the most, I must say. That free agency and then the Knicks playing well, like, those tend to be the three big things that get people to listen to this podcast. Fourth is probably the Knicks not doing well and maybe getting a potential rant out of yours truly. But other than that, that's the thing. You know, you guys love draft. So I want to give it to you, but I think it's a little too early. I feel like the stuff I would tell you now would be very much subject to change. I mean, right now, I'll just say this. Knicks are picking 10th. In the first round, and I believe they have only have one second round pick right now. I think they have the 40th pick overall. So they've got the 10th pick of the second round. So that's really it. You know, that's really all I can say. I mean, obviously I'd want the Knicks to be looking point guard, but the list is just it's fluctuating so much right now that it's really difficult to say where I would see the Knicks going right now. So I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to wait a few weeks, and unless there's a huge uproar for it next week, but I'm going to wait a couple of weeks, and then when we get into the thick of March Madness, that's when we can kind of start talking about it, because you're going to start seeing some stars, right? You know, March Madness, and as someone who loves college basketball, I don't always like to hear this, but, you know, most people don't pay attention to college basketball until right about now. Like, people don't pay attention in the United States to college basketball heavily until, you know, late February. You know, mid to late February. The Super Bowl's done, you know, and then college basketball tends to get center stage close to the end of February, right? NBA gets a little bit of shine because of the All-Star weekend in the middle of February, and then anyone that hasn't already jumped on the college hoops bandwagon is right in time for, you know, bubble season. Teams on the bubble, who's in, who's out, you know, and then March you get the conference tournaments and then the big one, March Madness. So all that is going to change a lot of these mock drafts, a lot of these rankings. So we'll wait it out. We'll wait it out. All I know is, you know, if the Knicks keep losing, they might improve on that 10th pick, but not by much. Not by much. The Knicks are not going to be picking in the top five. They're going to probably be picking, in my estimation, you know, based on who's in front of them, the likes of Sacramento, San Antonio, Portland, Indiana, the Knicks are probably going to be picking somewhere between 8th and 10th. That's probably what's going to happen. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, the Knicks could pick 12th. That's also a possibility. If they catch Washington, for example, they could move down a spot. But for right now, the way the Knicks are playing, it's just not going to happen. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at on that front. I'll just say one thing about the Philly game, the one in particular with James Harden the other night. Philly looks pretty legit with James Harden in the starting lineup. Now, it's one game. Let's be very clear about that. One game, and it's against a Knicks team that is in huge disarray. Massive disarray. This is not a Knicks team from 3 months ago where that might have looked like a better win. This is a team that is in free fall. The Knicks have lost, what is it now? Knicks have lost 6 in a row, and they've lost 10 of their last 11. And, oh my God, this goes all the way back to the Charlotte loss. Knicks have won 3 of their last, oh my God, bear with me, 7, 11, 12, 15. Knicks are 3-12 in their last 15 games since the loss to Charlotte. Was it Charlotte? Charlotte, I think, right? Yeah, they lost to Charlotte at the Garden back on, what date was this? Oh my gosh. Simpler times. January 17th. Oh, since January 17th, this is almost 2 months now, the Knicks are 3-12. At the time when they lost this game, the Knicks were at 500. They were 22-22. And since that loss, the Knicks have lost 2 of 14. Sorry, they've won 2 of 14. They've lost 14 of 16 since this game. Or I guess 12 of 14. It's rough. It's been as rough as it gets for a team that should have been competitive. But it is what it is. This has now been almost for 2 months that the Knicks have been in complete free fall. And I'll say this, last thing I'll talk about, because there's really not much else to talk about right now with the Knicks, but the Knicks' wins during that time are actually somewhat impressive. They beat the Clippers, although they were undermanned, the Kings, and then the Warriors. But it's the really impressive one's obviously a fully locked in and healthy Golden State. That was impressive, but, you know, it's just and it was at Golden State, by the way. They won at Golden State, and at the time you're thinking, oh, is that the one? Is that the one where the Knicks turn it around? And they haven't won since. Knicks have lost 6 straight, and the last 3 in particular since the All-Star break ended have been ugly. So Knicks did not come out of the break with any pizzazz. They played the Suns on the day the podcast goes out on the Friday. I mean, the last time I said this, the Knicks won, but there's no way they're beating the Suns. There's no way. Surely not. I mean, to be fair, the last time I said that about Golden State, obviously they ended up winning. But there's no way. The Knicks are not going to go to Phoenix and win. It's just, it's going to continue to get worse. And heck, even if they do win, I'm sure they'll blow a 28-point lead to the next team they play. And that will be that. So, Knicks are 12 games under 500. When you look at the standings, again, I mean, again, the Knicks aren't winning any games, but the Knicks are still in it as far as the play-in. They're only 4.5 back, but it's going to get worse. I mean, they're not catching Atlanta. They're not catching Charlotte. So, we'll see. Knicks have the worst losing streak right now in the East and the second worst in the NBA. The only team that has a worse losing streak right now has been the Kings of losing streaks. Not Sacramento. It's Houston. Rockets have lost 11 straight since it looked like they had figured it out a few months back. So it continues to be tough on the Knicks. The future for Tibbs continues to be in limbo. Nothing's really changed on that front. Worldwide West and Leon Rose and Scott Perry and this front office, nothing's changed publicly. So there's really not much else to say about the Knicks right now. It's a situation where it's really just about, at this point, I hate to say it, but it really is, you know, where are the Knicks going to pick in the draft? You know, the play-in is basically done. There's no way that the Knicks are going to get there if they keep playing like this. And there's no evidence that they're going to turn it around. So, and you wonder, you know, because again, mathematically, the Knicks are still very much in it. You know, but are they going to actually have the heart to be in a fight for the play-in? You know, I don't see it. I don't see it. Every once in a while, I'll get a text saying, you know, someone says, hey, you know, you never know. You never know. To be fair, there's a lot of games left. There's a whole month of games left where things could change. But the Knicks have only won 3 of their last 15 games. I mean, I don't see it happening. Now, last thing I'll say about it is crazier things have happened. You know, you see teams sometimes in a regular season find it randomly. You know, something changes behind the scenes, a locker room talk, a players only meeting, you know, the front office getting involved somehow, and fortunes change. You know, a team figures it out. They re-find it again. But barring that, this Knicks season is over. You know, it's gotten to the point where you're asking a lot of a group of guys that it just seems are as disconnected as they've ever been under this head coach, under this front office. And it's hard to imagine the Knicks rattling off 6 straight wins, 8 straight wins, you know. They can't even win a game right now. They can't hold on to a lead when they get it. You know, they led against Philly the other night. They had somewhat of control over the game, but I never for once thought they were going to win. You can't think that way right now. It's impossible. With the way the Knicks have coughed up leads, it's just not happening at the moment. So we'll see. I mean, as always, you know, let me know what you think. Most of the feedback when I ask this question has been, you know, what I've been saying. So I feel like most of you are in my camp as far as where the Knicks stand and your level of frustration, and rightfully so. I mean, like I said, every once in a while I'll get a message talking about being positive and there's a lot of games left, but not many. Oh, not many at all. Very much on the negative side. And it has to. Knicks fans have every right to be frustrated. Every right. You know? Now, I've gotten more of a mix of, you know, well, I saw this coming. Those I go, I don't know about that. Hindsight's always 20/20, you know? Because I was excited. I've admitted this multiple times, how excited I was at the beginning of this season. And it just hasn't materialized. I think it's very clear over the last month in particular. I mean, this has been happening since January, but February in particular highlighted the Knicks' issues, and they have never been able to recover. Simple as that. So we'll see. You know, we'll talk draft maybe in a week or two. You know, I'm still waiting on. I want to see. You know, I'd like to see a bracket. You know, before I talk draft, and I want, you know, what I mean is I want March Madness to start before we really start to dive into prospects and things like that. Now, if you guys want me to talk college hoops on this podcast, I don't need a second invitation. We can talk college hoops. I did a college hoops podcast for years, but we'll talk more about that in the context of the draft once we get a little bit more into March Madness and the NCAA tournament. That's when we can really start to pinpoint where people might go, whose stock is high, which teams are a little interested in so-and-so, and who are the standout prospects, you know, whether it's for the top end of the draft, where the Knicks will be picking, all of those good things. And a few, you know, a few sleepers, a few guys to watch out for, as we normally like to go to on this show. So again, let me know what you think about the Knicks, the draft. You can start letting me know what your thoughts are on the draft and who the Knicks will decide to take that's not a point guard this time around. And we can start chopping that up over the next few weeks and later on in the month. So before we take the break, I do want to, most of this podcast, I do want to talk about the NBA and the current situation with, you know, go more into the state of the NBA going in towards a playoff push. And because we talked All-Star Weekend last week and things of that nature. But I did want to get a little bit more into the playoff push because it's getting interesting. It really is. I wanted to start by dissecting Philly a little bit more, and then we'll move on to the rest of the East and the West for this week's show. Philly's interesting to me right now, and again, we got a very good look at them up close and personal over the last week, as far as Knicks fans are concerned. But only one of the games for me really stood out. I mean, I really wanted to see what James Harden looked like playing with Joel Embiid, playing with Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey, and the rest of the Sixers group, you know. And, you know, again, it's one game against a Knicks team that couldn't be in more disarray if they tried to right now, although I won't tempt fate. And they were impressive. They were. I liked what I saw from James Harden in particular, and the Philly looks dangerous potentially if James Harden can figure this out consistently. I mean, Joel Embiid, you know, as much as we, you know, people knock him for certain things he says, and I've been one of them over the years, especially with the Ben Simmons situation, I didn't think he handled that very well, but he's a freak athlete. I mean, I think it's very clear that he is a, you know, close to being in that unicorn type category in the NBA. He does things that are very rare for his size. His ability to dribble the ball, his mobility, and his athleticism around the rim, defensively in particular, is extremely impressive to watch. And I'm going to be very curious to see, in the playoffs, how that relationship is going to work out between him and James Harden. Because when it's, you know, when it's time to go, you know, the Sixers have always needed a closer. Is Harden that guy? Because now all of a sudden, the Harden haters have come back out, and it's like, well, does he close enough in the postseason? You know what? It's illogical. It's a good question. It's a good question. Track record's been iffy for Harden in the postseason. He's going to be relied on quite a bit for Philly to make the big plays in the close games down the stretch. And that's a lot of responsibility. It really is, especially in a city like Philly, to be that guy. And because Embiid, as much as he can get you a bucket late because of his injuries and because of his position, you need a closer, and James Harden is expected now to be that guy. It's not going to be Tobias Harris. I don't know if it's going to be a Tyrese Maxey, not this season. How is that going to work out for Philly? We'll have to see. I got to take a break here. We're out of time for the first segment, but we'll talk more about this and the rest of the picture around the NBA going into the playoffs next. So we'll take a break. More after this on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network. Second half of the show. Apologies for getting a little clunky there at the end of the first half, but we do have to get our ad breaks in, so had to take care of business there. But let's just pick up, because I do want to talk Western Conference and the state of the West right now a little bit closer, as we, you know, it's getting towards that time of the year right now where it's getting very close to the home stretch, you know, playoff positioning. And I really wanted to spend a lot of time going through multiple contenders this week, because I feel like a lot of podcasts, we get to the bare minimum sometimes, and we don't always get to dive fully in. And I was a little ashamed, because I was hoping the Knicks would be in this conversation when we finally fully dove in, and obviously, mathematically they are, but they're really out of it. So, but we talked Philly last segment, and I was just so interested about the James Harden conundrum, right? Can he get it done in the postseason, right? I mean, he's been to an NBA Finals with OKC, but he was, you know, a third wheel on that team. Now, a very important player, no question about it. The Thunder don't get to the finals that year without the contributions of James Harden. But since then, when he's been the guy on a team, you know, Houston to be specific, it has not gone well. And James Harden, you know, this is probably the most damning thing about his career right now. He has not been back to an NBA Finals since that year with OKC. What was it, 2013, when they lost to Miami? It'll be 10 years if he doesn't make it this year. So that's a long drought to be, actually, sorry, technically 9 after this year. But going into 2023, now that's, again, almost a decade without another NBA Finals appearance. And that's what, you know, that's what's going to be looked back on, you know, when you don't get it done. One of the things I worry about with a guy like Chris Paul, who got there last year and couldn't get it done, is his career going to be defined if he doesn't get a ring? You know, that was one of the reasons I was kind of rooting for him last year. Last year kind of felt like the chance, you know. Now, to be fair, it's looking pretty good for Phoenix right now. I mean, Golden State's the biggest threat in the West, but Phoenix could take anybody, I think, in the East this year. I really don't see any major challengers. So they'll be favored. They'll be the favorites, I think, if they get there again, Phoenix. But it's James Harden as well. We kind of look at where he's been in his career. And again, you look at the way he left things in Brooklyn as well. He was never healthy, you know, so he never really made the full contribution on that super team. You know, and to be fair, we'll get to Brooklyn in a second, but we haven't even seen them with Ben Simmons. So I have no idea what they're going to look like. I mean, it's completely up in the air on Brooklyn. When Kevin Durant gets healthy, they're going to figure it out. I don't see Brooklyn ending up in the play-in unless it gets a little tight down the stretch. But they got some kinks to work out. Brooklyn, when Ben Simmons is in there, surely they're going to try to get him ready for the playoffs. I mean, Ben Simmons has said he will be back to play, so at least that's what it seems like publicly. So what's that going to look like? Number one, how are Ben Simmons and Kevin Durant going to play together? I'm very curious. Remember when the move was first made, Harden for Simmons with the other pieces involved, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, you know, and picks. One of the major thoughts on it was, well, could Ben Simmons play the five with this Brooklyn team? You would allow Blake Griffin, who, when he's been in his prime and been at his best, is more of a four. You get a little bit bigger. And then Ben Simmons kind of becomes this super versatile passing big man inside. And you really try to go after Ben Simmons' strengths, which are passing the ball and rebounding the basketball. Those are the things that Ben Simmons does the best, and defensively, right? As a big man, Ben Simmons can defend multiple positions, multiple sizes. It's a very interesting one because Brooklyn doesn't have a ton of depth that's solid in the front court. I'm very curious to see if that's going to happen because as much as I think Ben Simmons would be okay at the point guard position with Brooklyn, I don't know if that makes Brooklyn a title contender. That's kind of where I sat on it when the trade happened. And until I see otherwise, it's kind of the place I'm sitting here because and honestly, when I first saw the trade had happened, my first thought for both teams, and I shared this on the podcast, was did anybody get closer there to winning a championship? I don't know. It's tricky to say. Philly with James Harden have made a statement. You know, they've gotten a big win against the Knicks team. You know, that is where it is right now. But we've now seen that there's something there, you know? I'm curious when we're going to have that moment with Ben Simmons. When is he going to have that moment where we go, huh, Brooklyn was on the right track with this. And it's going to come down to when Kevin Durant and everybody gets healthy, right? When's everyone going to be healthy for Brooklyn? That's going to be the story for two reasons, right? And I picked Brooklyn, by the way, to win the championship before the season started. There's multiple things at play here. One, when is Ben Simmons going to get healthy? Two, when is Kevin Durant going to get healthy? And three, when is Kyrie going to either get his crap together or be lucked out by the mandates being lifted in New York? Because until they play together consistently, I don't know how this is going to look. Because Kyrie can play the two. He'd be undersized, but he can play the two. His handles are off the charts. He can get up shots quickly. But I think it's more likely that Ben Simmons would play the five a little bit more. Kyrie would do what he normally does. And then you have KD at the three or the four, just absolutely ripping it from deep. So I'm curious. I mean, the East has so many question marks like this, you know? The Bulls right now, you know, where do they fall in this? It's gone back and forth for me with the Bulls. I mean, again, I saw early. For me, it didn't take me very long to realize, oh gosh, the Bulls are going to be good this year. I think I was five games in. I was talking to some people through Clubhouse, and I was just like, guys, the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls are legit. They look like they're going to be in the mix. They've been great, especially at home. One of the best home records in the league. 24-9 this year at home. They've been, you know, a little bit of a rough patch lately. Bit up and down. They've lost two straight, but the Bulls are probably going to be a top four seed, barring a drastic turn of events in March. The Bulls are going to be a top four seed. I just don't see that. I don't see them letting that slip. But to be fair, if Philly gets it going a little bit, if Milwaukee gets it going a little bit, it's possible the Bulls drop. But I don't think they drop below four. I think they're probably going to be the fourth seed, if not maybe the three. I think there'll be three or four worst case scenarios, what I'm trying to say. But what is their ceiling in the playoffs? That's kind of where I'm at, because I look around right now in the East. I think Philly just made a big time statement with James Harden. I think you can't count out Milwaukee. I really don't think you can. So Philly, Milwaukee. Then I think you got to go Miami. They've won 8 of their last 10. And the tough thing with the Heat is they're just as good on the road as they are at home. They are very, very good away from home this season. And then it's Brooklyn. Whatever Brooklyn looks like, you know? Because the tough part is, right, and I said this a little while ago, the tough part is, this is why we're really waiting with bated breath to see what happens when they get healthy. Brooklyn's a game above 500 right now. And the longer that KD is out, the longer that Ben Simmons is out, the longer that Kyrie can't play home games, the more likely it will be that Brooklyn might have to play in the play-in. And we saw what happened with the Lakers last year. Play-in es no bueno for teams trying to make big, deep runs in the NBA playoffs. The Lakers fell apart in the first round against Phoenix. Absolutely crumbled. And by the way, that was a Phoenix team at the time with Chris Paul in and out of the lineup. He was hurt for most of that series. And the Lakers still were thoroughly outplayed for most of the series. Because they crumbled. They fell apart. And they had injuries as well at the end, but the damage had been done. They ran out of gas. I don't think Brooklyn's in any shape to play extra games right now, if they can help it. They want to be right into the playoffs. But the problem is, the Boston Celtics are 10 games above 500. And they are currently 4.5 up on the Nets for that sixth playoff spot. And heck, Brooklyn's 3 back of Toronto, who are in 7th. So Brooklyn, again, there's a lot of chance for them to figure this out. But the longer this goes on, the steeper the task is going to be for the Brooklyn Nets. And that is going to really open the door for the Miami Heat, for the Milwaukee Bucks, and for the Philadelphia 76ers to be the favorites in the East, if they aren't already. I think people are waiting a little bit on the Heat. I know they're first right now, but I think people are kind of waiting on them to kind of do it again in the playoffs. This has been so interesting with Miami all year. Miami's been kind of interesting all year because they've been good all year, Miami. You know, they've kind of been right there all year in the top four of the East. But it's almost like people are so hung up on that sweep against the Bucks from last year that they're not giving Eric Spoelstra the just due he should get and deserves. And they're kind of waiting for the Heat to crumble. This is not last year's Heat. It just isn't. They've improved the personnel. They've got a little bit of that Heat culture back that everyone always rants and raves about down in Miami. They will be a threat. I mean, there's no question about it, especially if they get home court in the first round, which, again, unless they collapse, they've got a 4.5 game lead on the Cavs, who were in fifth. The Heat are going to get home court. They will be very dangerous. I see people all the time exclude the Heat sometimes from these conversations about the hierarchy of the Eastern Conference. You cannot exclude them. The Miami Heat are going to be involved in these conversations for probably a decent chunk of the playoffs. They'll be right there. So it's going to be very interesting. Very interesting indeed to see how this all plays out. The West is also very intriguing around those spots, you know, around the 7 through 10, 6 and 3 through 6, 7 through 10, you know, because we know what the top two basically is going to be. Now, to be fair, Golden State's been through a little bit of a rough patch. They've lost 6 of their last 10. However, despite the fact that Memphis has made up a lot of ground during that time, they're a half game back, I still think Golden State is probably going to be the 2 seed in the West. Barring, again, this continuing. But I Golden State will start winning games again. They're too good not to. Phoenix has got a 7-game lead, by the way, for the number one seed. And the number one overall seed, let me actually, I should double check that. They've got an even bigger lead on the teams from the East. So it's really just down to them and Golden State. They've got a 7-game lead on Golden State for the top seed in the playoffs. So Phoenix is sitting pretty right now. The playoffs are likely going to run through the desert. So it's Golden State and Memphis fighting for the 2 spot. It's Utah trying to hold off Dallas and Denver for the 4 spot. And then it's just fascinating after that. 7 through 10, even 7 through 12 in the West. Fascinating. It really is. The Timberwolves are in 7th. I don't think anybody saw that coming when the season started. The biggest surprise, arguably, in the entire league for me has been the Minnesota Timberwolves this year. I did not think they'd get anywhere near potentially being in the playoffs. I didn't think they'd even be in the play-in, let alone the playoffs. And they're 2.5 out of the 6th spot, and they're in 7th. They're comfortably in right now. They have a 9-game lead. I should say an 8.5-game lead on the Portland Trailblazers, who are in 11th. They're basically, you know, barring a massive month collapse, the Minnesota Timberwolves will be in the play-in, bare minimum. It's remarkable. And it's more remarkable of who they're ahead of. I mean, that might be the craziest thing. They're a game and a half up on the Clippers, who are in 8th, and have won 4 in a row. By the way, the Clippers were in much more dire straits a week ago. They've won 4 in a row, and they're trying to get back to winning ways here. But the Lakers are in 9th. They've lost 3 straight. They are currently, at the moment, 6 games back of the Minnesota Timberwolves for 7th. And this is just jarring to me. They're 8.5 back of Denver for the final play-in spot, a playoff spot guarantee. And actually, I think this is the most damning. The Portland Trailblazers, who are in 11th, they are 2.5 games back of the Lakers. The Lakers are closer to being out of the playoffs completely more than they are to the 6th seed. It is more likely right now that the Lakers completely miss the playoffs and the play-in than it is for them to get the 6th spot. It's remarkable. It really is. This experiment with Russell Westbrook and these young pieces that they've tried to fit in has not worked. And honestly, some of you might already be getting the pitchforks out for Russell Westbrook. For me, this actually is more of an indictment, I think, on LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They can't stay on the court. LeBron James and, more surprisingly somehow, Anthony Davis cannot stay healthy. They can't do it. That's the problem. This Laker team, all season, has not been able to stay on the court. So we have not seen enough of them at full strength. And they are going through the exact same thing the Nets are going through, except they're in worse shape, because the Lakers actually could miss everything. They could miss the play-in. They could miss everything postseason entirely. It's very possible. You know, New Orleans is right there. They're 2.5 back, or they're a game and a half back of the Lakers. Portland is 2.5 back. And the Spurs are still in this. They're 2 back of the Pelicans, who are in 10th. And they're 3.5 back of the Lakers. So there are 3 teams here that could conceivably make this very difficult on the Lakers right now. Because right now, because of this win streak the Clippers have been on, Clippers are 4.5 up on the Lakers. They're fine. feeling good. And again, the Clippers are very similar. They've been without most of their stars all year. They've missed Kawhi the whole season, and Paul George has been out for most of the season. So this has been a very, very difficult year for star-studded big threes and, you know, super teams. It's been pretty rough. It's been pretty rough. So we'll wait to see. Right now, it is hard to bet on the Lakers being there when the playoffs start. They got to go through the play-in, and if the Clippers are in the play-in and they're at full strength or close to it, boy, let me tell you, crazy things could potentially be happening with the Lakers and in Los Angeles in general, between the Clippers and the Lakers. Wild stuff. And by the way, Portland, wow. Even without Damian Lillard, they've stayed in it. It's remarkable. And they traded CJ McCollum. They blew it up. Portland blew it up and they're still in it. It's remarkable. Really is. We'll see if they can keep it up. San Antonio, still in the mix with what they lost during the offseason. Fair play. Fair play to San Antonio. Really has been remarkable. I don't think they're going to get in the play-in, but to still have a shot this late, I think they would have taken that 100%. That's going to do it for this week's episode of the podcast. Let me know who you think the contenders are, who's going to figure it out first. I mean, Lakers, Nets, Clippers. Let me know what you think. And obviously, as always, let me know your thoughts on the Knicks. Have a great week. Thanks for 140 phenomenal episodes. And I will see you all next time on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network.